to start at verse number 15. Third chapter of the book of Daniel. I'm going to start at verse number 15. And I want to share some things with you. This is the charge night for the revival. This is the charge night. When you have it, say amen. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse number 18. But if not, I thought I'd get a little bit more witnesses right there. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This is the word of our Lord. The grass withers and the flower thereof fades. The word of our Lord shall stand forever. I want to share with you tonight this charge, this subject. Can you stay committed? Can you stay committed? The anchor scripture for these few days that I've had with you comes from Galatians 2 and 20. It reads, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The context of Galatians 2 is how the believer is made right with God. But false teachers were telling the Galatian church that faith in Christ was not enough. And to be crucified with Christ is what this whole couple of days is about. To be crucified with Christ. What does that mean, Pastor Terry? I'm glad you asked. Being crucified with Christ means that we are no longer under the penalty of the law. Yeah. That penalty was paid by Christ on our behalf. Yeah. Being crucified with Christ means that we are new creations. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone away. Yeah. The new is here. The old life is dead and gone, and we now walk in newness. Being crucified with Christ also means that we have a new love. Yeah. The lust of the flesh no longer pleases us. The new love we have is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here is the point that helps me bring this whole thing together. Being crucified with Christ means that we have a new commitment. Yes. We are dedicated to the service and glory of the Lord. And that dedication destroys selfishness and surpasses ties to family and friends. We have taken up our cross to follow Jesus the Christ. So I got to get you out of your comfort zone. Because if you're going to be committed to Christ, that means something's got to go by the wayside. I know you like to party and vacation, but guess what? When the pastor says, we're going on a fast, no more partying and no more vacation. Because we're getting ready to fast and pray. You don't think that happens? You don't believe the power in that? Last month, every first full week of the month, we're in prayer. Last month, the Lord had us fast and pray. We fasted and prayed the whole week. and everybody was on Zoom, and God did some wonderful things. But the manifestation of it came when one of our own family members had to go to the hospital to get surgery on her head. And if my memory serves me correct, which I believe it does, they said she had a piece of flesh that was blocking one of the coils. Yes. And had that flesh not been there, things would have ended up worse. Things would have ended up worse than we expected. What am I saying to you? When you are committed to God, you may not see the benefits immediately. But it is a consistent thing that we must have in the body of Christ. Let me put it where the ghost can get it. You can't shout today and expect deliverance tomorrow. Sometimes you're going to shout today and fall back tomorrow. That don't mean you stop giving God praise. That means you come back and do it again. Because consistency is what God looks for. You can't come to church on a couple of days and think God's going to turn things around. He can. He can. But God don't work that way. Look at somebody and say, God ain't a genie. You just can't rub on the Bible and then you expect God to do something. The question is, can you be committed? Because if you can't be committed, then what we doing this for? I wish I had two or three people. When a man and a woman stands before the preacher, they commit themselves to one another. That's right. And whether they are serious about it or not, God hears it. And God holds them accountable. Oh, y'all don't want to talk? They should have told y'all about me. I'm one of them kind of preachers. So let me walk down your aisle. If I haven't been there yet, don't worry about it. I'm on my way over there. Amen. But commitment means more than convenience. We have gotten commitment mixed up with the word called convenience. I must be in the house because it's real quiet. Because when you are committed, you know it's not dependent upon your convenience. Sometimes commitment requires you to get out of your comfort zone. Because if everybody was committed, everybody would be. And since everybody can't be committed, that's why there's a chosen few. I wish I had somebody. I said I wasn't going to meddle today, but y'all got to pray for me. Y'all got to pray for me. Amen. Listen. Okay, let me help soften the blow. A pig and a chicken was walking down the street. The chicken said to the pig, look, they're having bacon and egg breakfast for the homeless. The chicken said, hey, we ought to go over there and help out with the bacon and egg breakfast to feed the hungry. The pig said, I ain't going over there. And the chicken said, why not? The pig said, because all you doing is giving a donation. If I go over there to give my bacon, it's going to cost me my life. And that's how some of us are in the body of Christ. We'll be the chicken all day long. You want an egg? But there you go. But if you want something more, I ain't willing to give all that. But yet and still, we sit at the feet of God wanting God to do everything for us. But if God said, push your plate back and fast, wait a minute, God. You know I'm a diabetic. I had to eat my food. You ain't got to worry about it. Oh, God, I got to take my medicine. Because if I miss taking my medicine one day, the doctor say, well, wait a minute. Do you trust God or do you not trust God? Okay, all right. I see it's going to be one of those nights. Okay, so simply being involved, ladies and gentlemen, is not a commitment. But biblical commitment means that you make certain decisions in advance. Irrespective of the circumstances, let me put that word a ghost and get it. When you are biblically committed, that means you say, there's an old saying that says, come what may, I'm going to walk with God. That means you have already predetermined what you're going to do for God. No matter the circumstances. Now, to the New Day Saints, that sounds real good, don't it? I'm going to serve God. Soon they start playing. Oh, I'm shouting and everything. But as soon as the road gets rough, as soon as one or two people don't say amen when you sing, or the pastor forgets to pat you on the back, or you go to pray for somebody and they don't recover, you try to live right to your family and your family looks at you as if you have not changed, that separates the men from the boys, the girls from the ladies. Because in this walk, you're going to face some hard trials and tribulations. In this walk, you're going to have some folks that talk about you. In this walk, you're going to have folks that's going to challenge you. And guess what? Sometimes God himself will challenge you. He will allow the devil to attack you just to see if you can stand. You don't believe me? Come here, Bible. Bible is here. The book of Job. What did the Lord tell the devil when he came around the sons? Hast thou considered my servant Job? And the devil says he only serves you because you got a hedge around him. And the Lord said, I'll remove it and I'll let you have your way. But you better not touch his soul. Let me put that where the ghost can get it. When the Lord says to the devil, go ahead and do it, the Lord has given him permission. But here's what we need to understand. The Lord determines the length and the severity of what the devil does in your life. Let me say that again. Did you hear me? When the Lord tells the devil that he can have his way in your life, the Lord says to the devil, you can only go this far and only do it that hard. You got that? Yeah. Okay. Just want to make sure you got it. Pass it on to the next person. We're going to have a little fun, but we're going to get this word. Because to understand true commitment, I'm building some bridges. To get true commitment, we got to understand that every day ain't going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. If nobody ever told you that when you came on the Lord's side, that it was going to be easy, they told you a bold face tale. If they told you being on the Lord's side was going to be easy, they did not tell you the truth. What they should have told you is you are going to face it. However, you ain't by yourself. They should have told you the very person sometimes you dip your hand in the pan with gonna be the very one that turns their back on you. They should have told you that the very one sometimes that you lay next to will be the person that breaks your heart in pieces. Are y'all in this house? And God is saying that in spite of all of that, I still need you to be committed. Because when we are committed to God, God shows up and he shows out. He may not come when you want him, but I promise you he's always on time. But in the meantime, what are you going to do? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, in the meantime, what are you going to do? So I got some notes here. Let me try to stick to my notes. Let me give you some scriptures. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Psalms 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall do what? Bring it to pass. Romans 12 1 and 2 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Timothy 1 and 2 says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. My brothers and sisters, that's what commitment is. And I'm not just talking about commitment in church. Because commitment in church and having raggedy families don't work together. Let me say that again. You can't be so committed to God and leave your family raggedy. And you can't be so committed to your family and leave God's house raggedy. The way the God that we serve, he works everything according to his will. Are y'all hearing me what I'm saying? And when you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. But that don't mean that you still don't do your part. I wish I had somebody in here. Because commitment works that way. Y'all all right? I just want to make sure y'all all right. Because I'm not rushing through this. I hope y'all know that. I'm not finna rush. Y'all all right? Y'all good? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you all right? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure, amen. I just want to make sure that I can't run, so if y'all come do something to me, y'all pray for me, amen. I'm just going to ball up in the ball. Y'all do what y'all going to do. Rob can open that door, but I got to hop to that door, amen. So that brings me to my point number one. True commitment requires an understanding that it will be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. Nebuchadnezzar, can I teach a little bit? So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And once his dream was interpreted, Nebuchadnezzar thought that him building this huge erection was what God was sharing with him to do. And this statue was what they were supposed to worship every time they heard certain music. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Aunt Etta, had already had a true relationship with the true and living God. So they had already made up in their mind that they weren't finna do none of that stuff. But y'all know how folks are. There were some folks trying to get in with the king, trying to be cool with the king, and ran to the king and said, you know them boys, you know, they not us. They not us. They ain't us. But you know them boys over there, you know, it was four of them, but now it's three of them. Yeah, you changed their name and you gave them positions that should have been given to us because, you know, we your people. But however, they ain't serving the God that you just built. Oh, y'all hear me? And we here to tell you that you got them over high providences and they ain't even following your directives. So what you gonna do about that king? The king, getting huffy, said, bring them here. Bring them here. And when he sat them boys down, he talked to them. And them boys had the same response. We ain't doing none of that stuff. Let me help you out. When you have in your mind that you're gonna serve God, it's going to be a struggle. Because you're gonna have folks around you that you thought had your back will be the main ones setting traps and digging ditches. I thought that would hit a little bit big. The very folks you thought had your back will be the main ones setting traps and digging ditches. In the church, on your job, in your neighborhood, and God forbid, even in your house. If it was going to be easy, everybody would be committed. But look at somebody and say, it's going to be a struggle. Now, what does struggle mean? Struggle means make one's way difficult. The devil will never let your commitment to God be easy. He will always paint the worst case scenario picture. He will always show you the worst outcome. And he does that so that we can operate in fear and not in trust. Oh, God, yeah. Because when you operate in fear, it clouds your vision. It distorts your thoughts. And you make rash decisions when you're scared. Pastor Wells, when you're scared, you will run into stuff that if you had your right senses, you would know to move out the way of. But because you're scared, you see the tree, but you also know something behind you. And your mind is saying, dodge this way. But fear is saying, keep running. Because any way you move, you're going to run into something. It's a struggle. Let me give y'all some examples. Listen. Let me be clear. Everyone will not be able to be committed, no matter how saved you are, no matter how many scriptures you can quote by heart, no matter how many tongues you have or can speak in, no matter how saved you say you are, the day will come when your commitment to God will be tested. Listen to this. Job had his struggles. His commitment was tested. But Job said, all the days of my appointed time, I holler myself, I'm going to wait till my change come. Gideon, y'all know the scared one. Gideon, that mighty man of valor, said, I ain't finna go to battle until I put God to the test. He said, God, I got a fleece. I wish I had a Bible reader. If I put this fleece out, let me know you with me by letting the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. Got up the next morning, wrung out a bowl full of wetness, and said, God, don't be mad at me. But I got to try you one more time. I'm going to put the fleece out again. Now let the fleece be dry and the ground. Even though it's a struggle, God will still be with you. I wish I had somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, even though it's a struggle, God will still be with you. Is there anybody in this house that believes that? Come on, give God praise if you believe it. Come on, give God praise if you believe it. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you throw in the towel. Stay on the Lord's side. The songwriter said it like this. The road gets rough. And the going gets tough. And the hills get hard to climb. But I started out a long time ago. And there is no doubt. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. Look at somebody right quick and tell them it requires a struggle. But point number two, y'all still with me? Point number two is it's the result of a choice and not a condition. Y'all go. Struggle is a result of a choice and not a condition. Y'all gonna make me throw my other towel. Commitment is the result of a choice and not a condition. Y'all feel what I'm putting out? It's a result of a choice and not a condition. For example, I chose to be here to preach. Yeah, I did. I could have waited till Sunday, went back to the pulpit where I serve, and preached. Because I could have said, I just had knee surgery, and I can't do nothing with it.
But my choice says I love God. And if someone wants to hear something that God has to say through me, I'm going. I heard my wife, I heard the members, and I told them all, I'm going to be all right. Because as long as God is with me, we're going to be all right. Oh, y'all hearing me what I'm saying? My commitment to God ain't based on whether or not I can stand. Because even if I couldn't stand, they got a chair waiting for me. If they had to wheel me in here, I'd have been wheeled up here doing circles in a wheelchair. But at the end of the day, I'm committed to God. Are y'all hearing me? I wish I had two. Do I have two or three people in here that's committed to God for real? Listen, don't fool me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm committed for real. I don't care what they say, I'm going. I'm going to give God praise. If they're going to say hallelujah, I don't care. I'm committed. Because at the end of the day, it's been me and God anyway. These boys, for the sake of their own lives, I'm in the text, for the sake of their own lives, could have said, okay, we're going to go ahead and worship because it ain't meaning nothing. We're going to go ahead when they play the dulcimer and all that stuff, we're going to go ahead and bow because in our hearts, y'all know how folks are saying, God knows my heart. Baby, bye. That is the oldest church lie this side of heaven. I'm sorry to break your heart, but that's the oldest church. God knows your heart. That's why he's pricking at it. That's why he's tugging at it, because he's trying to get you to come out your comfort zone. Do me a favor, if you ain't too mean, grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, come on out your comfort zone. Don't just shake the hand. Pull them out. To come on out your comfort zone. I need you to prophesy to them right quick and tell them you've been stagnant too long. Come on out your comfort zone. You've been sitting still too long. And God needs you in the service. God needs your hallelujah. God needs your amen. God needs your thank you, Jesus. God needs your praise. He needs your worship. You hear me? God needs it. Get out your comfort zone. Are y'all hearing me? How many things we put before God? You ain't got to tell me right now. Don't tell off on yourself. But how many things you put before God? Vacations, going out on a date, just needing a break from church and everybody. You're going with your husband, going with your wife. You ain't got the kids at home. I ain't going to church. I'm finna sit at home, put my feet up, sip me some wine, and watch Netflix. Yep, this thing is on. They got me on. Amen. And I'm not talking about anybody, because we've all been there. We've all been there. But in this day and time, listen, so I'm going to get on my soapbox for about 5 minutes. So I hope everybody in this house is registered to vote. And if you're not registered to vote and you're 18, you need to be registered to vote. Why is that so important, Pastor? Because in the state of Tennessee, because someone stood up for gun rights, one of the Democrats got voted out of his elected office. Now, mind you, it was three of them. Two young brothers and one Caucasian. Yeah. Let me ask you one thing. Who you think got voted out today? Who didn't? You ain't got the answer. You know why? Because it's important. Stop listening to what folks say. Your vote don't count. All right, I'm back to preaching. Because they'll take it from you. That's why it's not based on a condition. It should be based on what you believe. Well, what they got to do with serving God, it has everything to do with serving God. Whatever's due to Caesar, render unto Caesar. That's it. Voting ain't the end all, begin all, but guess what? It's an important part. And when we get done voting, guess what we're going to do? Come back and lay on our face. Because if God don't keep the city, the watchman watch it, but in vain. I wish I had a Bible reader. Okay, I'm moving on. Here I am again. It's a result of a choice. Listen, here's another one. Can I push this a little bit more? So here's why, Nene, it was easy for them to make the choice. So y'all know that these are the remnants that got picked up from Jerusalem. And the Babylonians, they didn't kill people. What they did was they picked the cream of the crop and engrafted them into their way of living to make them better. But there was four boys, if you go to the first chapter, and the four boys had something on them that was different from everybody else. It was Daniel with them at first. Oh, y'all hear me? I'm reinforcing point number two. So what happened was Daniel said, listen, man, we can't eat this stuff that they serving. We can't eat this stuff. So they went to the jailer and told the jailer, listen, we can't eat this. The jailer said, oh, y'all got to eat it. Because if y'all don't, I'm going to get in trouble. Daniel said, hold on a second. Do this for me. Give us 10 days and feed us this menu. And then come see us after 10 days. When they came back and saw him, the jail said, wait a minute. Y'all look fatter than the ones we've been feeding the slop. I mean, we've been feeding the good stuff too. Why? And then those boys, even though their names were changed, took that same experience and brought it into chapter number 3. So when they got to the point, ain't there, where they had to choose whether or not they're going to serve this man-made God or they're going to serve their God that kept them protected, guess what? The choice was easy. We're going to serve God, but the problem comes, many of us serve God when it is convenient and when the conditions are right. As a pastor, I've gone to see many folks. 9 times out of 10, I see them, Uncle Bruh, when they are in dire straits. Yes, Pastor, pray for my son. Okay, I'm going to do that. Pray for my family. Okay, I'll do this. All my preacher, pray for. Well, guess what? When Sunday comes and then when things are going good, you don't see them, you don't hear them, you nothing. But then as soon as the conditions are unfavorable to them, you can't beat them running in the church. And then they want you to work a miracle. Come on, Wood. Pray for me, Pastor. Lay hands on me. Wait a minute. Pray for my son. Pray for that they come back from the drugs. Well, I've been praying for them and told you to bring them to church. But you said, yeah, he grown. He ain't got to come to church. Now you want me to pray for him because they on drugs? But we was trying to prevent that. Yeah, y'all ain't got to say amen. You ain't got to say amen. But it's got to be a choice and not a condition. Because if it's a condition, then you're going to leave as soon as conditions change. You don't believe me? Can we be real with each other? We family, right? Can we be real with each other? Ladies, if you like a dude, and he don't call you for 3 days, but then he call you all of a sudden, talking about, can he come over? What you gonna tell him? Brothers, if you like a lady, and you ain't talked to her in 3 months, and all of a sudden she said, hey, baby, can you come over? When you go over, she said, ooh, I really love you, but I need a little help with my bill. You gonna go in your pocket? Nope. Hey, don't look at me with that tone of voice. Don't look at me with that tone of, don't act like y'all real super saved now. But if you feel that way, how you think God feels? How do we think God feels? God feels the same way. This ain't Bill Withers. You just can't keep on using me. Until you use me up. Oh, y'all don't know who Bill with.
Little sister, some folks that super saved gets on my last nerve. You know that? They act, I said Bill Withers. All I know is Michael Stampley. John P. Key. But let somebody stomp their feet three times. Dun, 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 dun. I knew I had somebody in the house. I knew I had. Yeah. Love and happiness. It'll make you do right. It'll make you do wrong. It'll make you come home early or stay out all night long. Look at somebody and say, it's the result of a choice. And not a condition. Can I push that point a little bit more? Joshua, he made obedience his first priority. He never waited to see what the crowd wanted to do. He made decisions from an eternal perspective and not a temporary one. He never wavered from his understanding of what was right. And before he died, according to the book that's titled after his name, the 24th chapter and the 14th verse, he said these things. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side. But this is the point I like. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers or the fathers on the southern side, but as for me and my house. As for me and my house, we've already made our choice. We gonna serve the Lord because he's a mighty good paymaster. He's a showpost in Zion. He's due to be leaned on. The Bible songwriter said, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, none ever has ever known. I got one more part. I got one more point. I'm going to leave y'all alone. One more point. One more point. One more point. Here it is. Here it is right here. Not only if we're going to be committed, it requires an understanding that it will be a struggle. It's the result of a choice and not a condition. But here it is. It's fostered when we settle the issue before it arises. What do you mean? Here, go back to verse number 18. After the king said it, what he said, you teach this. Here's what the boys said. Verse number 17 said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. Here is when it's settled. But if not, hit that box for me. Hit that. Give me a shot. You done got you some neck, girl? I want to holler. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It has to be settled before anything happens. Here's where I can put it where the ghost can get it. When you go to the mall, you already know the amount of money you finna spend and where stores you're going into. Y'all finna look at me? Whether they got a sale or not, you know how much money you got to spend. Whether it's in cash or whether it's in card, you know how much you got. And to those of you who got husbands, you know how much you bet not spend. I'm going to put it where the ghost can get it. You may have that big green one, or you may have that red one, or you may have that black one, and it may say no limit or $15,000 or $20,000, but you know you bet not spend over $700.
But you go there with a purpose. And these boys already knew. They knew from when the folks told on them what was going to be the result. And when they sat down to talk to the king, and he told them, now listen, I'm going to give y'all a chance. When y'all hear this music, this is what I want y'all to do. And I can imagine in my mind, they sitting there saying, uh-huh, we hear you. We acknowledge who you are, king. But at the end of the day, we still ain't going to do it. We know that you're going to heat up the furnace. We know you're going to throw us in the furnace. But we are so committed to God that we know he can save us. But if he don't, y'all just missed a shout. But if he doesn't, we still ain't going to do it. Do I have anybody in here that believes God like that? That even if he doesn't bring you out, I'm still going to serve him. Even if he doesn't heal your body, I'm still going to serve him. Even if he don't bring you out of that mess, I'm still going to serve him. This mess ain't going to stop my praise. This knee ain't going to stop my shouting. My circumstances, situations ain't going to stop me from giving God praise. Why? Because greater is he. That's in me. Than he that's in the world. Y'all know the rest of the story, but can I tell it my way? The king got madder than fish grease. Said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to toss them in. Toss them into the furnace. The cats that was taking them to the furnace got burnt up. I saw it shouting right then and there. Why you saw a shot in there? Because if it was hot enough to burn them up, why them boys and boys? Which let me know they was already getting set up for a blessing. Can I pause your theology right quick? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, even though you're walking to the furnace, don't give up on God. Because right when you're walking in, he's already setting you up for a blessing. In other words, God designed that mountain to be your mountain to carry so you can show other folks how he's going to bring you through. I wish. Look at somebody and say, this is my mountain. I'm going to carry it and still give God praise. But God need to tell y'all this. I just heard, thank you, Holy Spirit. Can I help y'all out right quick? The problem that you're going through ain't really for you. It's to help deliver somebody else. But when you are committed to God, God needs to see that, and so does somebody else. Why you say that? Because this same king, when they tossed him in the fire, guess what happened? God didn't take him out the fire, but got in there with him. And before he set them free, he loosed their chains. What are you saying? Sometimes God will keep you in the furnace and loose you in the furnace and let you walk around. Because what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. And while he's turning it around, he's changing somebody's mind. I can't holler like I want to. God will do it for you every time. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, settle it in your mind. And watch God work. Look at somebody else and say, settle it in your mind. And watch God work. If you believe it, come on, give God praise. One more time, settle it in your mind. And watch God work. Because when you settle it in your mind, there ain't nothing too hard for God. Watch God work. And I need you to understand this, that if God don't and keeps you in it, he's still able. Can I push this a little bit more? Because sometimes the furnace that you're in is the furnace that God is using to burn away the things that's not like him. He's using this furnace situation to burn some stuff away from you. Are y'all hearing me? And when you've got it settled in your mind, God said, okay, I can work for you now. Come here, Pastor Wells. He'll say, I'll work for you now. Take your time. But he'll say, but I ain't going to take you out because there's some stuff on you I still need to get off. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk with you. Come on, walk with me. I'm going to walk with you in the furnace. And I'm going to tell you where all the pitfalls are. And I'm going to show you how to step over. I'm going to show you how to dodge. I'm going to show you how to go this way. And then sometimes I'm just going to guide you all the way around. Then sometimes I may take you back around this way. But I'm not taking you out. But I'm letting you know I got you, Lord. I'm letting you know I got you. And this furnace is not from the devil. This furnace is me. Because I'm purging you from things that's not supposed to be in you. And then when I see that you've come out, I'm going to put you right where I want you to be. Can I help y'all a little bit more? I shared this with First Free Will. Let me share this with y'all. Sometimes God puts us in the furnace because he's still trying to see himself. If you've ever seen a smelter work, when a smelter is working with gold ore in its rarest form don't look like the gold that you got on your finger on your neck. But what the smelter has to do is put it in heat. And he heats it up. And then he comes back and scrapes away the bad stuff and takes a look on the inside. When he can't see his reflection, he turns up the heat some more. Gets more impurities out. Scrapes it off again. Looks again until he sees himself. And when he don't see himself, he turns up the heat more. And by the time he's turned up the heat to as hot as it can get and scraped all the stuff out, when he looks over at the gold, Uncle Bro, he sees himself. That's his desired result. If God's got you in a furnace situation and you've settled it in your mind, God is just purging you of all of those things that's not like him. Are y'all hearing me? And the enemy will make you believe that God has forsaken you. But what has consumed others won't consume you. I heard Isaiah say, when I pass it through the waters, they won't overtake you. And if you find yourself in the flood, they won't drown you. If you go through the fire, it won't burn you. God has a way of taking care of his own people. Is that all right? And if you're going to be crucified with Christ, you got to bear your own cross. Simon of Cyrene, must Jesus bear this cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And bearing your cross with Jesus is more than just mouth service, because you can make your mouth say whatever you want to say. But when your heart, when your heart says it, God hears it and God rushes to your aid. And he may not pull you out, but he'll let you know I'm walking with you. Because this is par for the course. That's my charge to you today. Stay with God. Hang in there with God. And if you find yourself in a furnace, don't be in a rush to get out. Just ask God to purge me. Whatever's not like you, purge me. Are y'all hearing me? I heard David say, God, I know I've sinned against you and you alone. Don't take your spirit from me. But purge me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be whiter than... Are y'all hearing me? But can you be committed? I'm right across the street.
God wants to know, can you be committed? God wants to know, can you be committed? Look at your neighbor and just say, neighbor, can you be committed? Now you look at that same person, can you be committed? Because it's more than mouth service. And right now, while you're emotionally high, everybody's probably saying, yeah. But the day gonna come that you're gonna be tired and tired. The day gonna come when you say, well, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so gonna be there. Ain't no need for me to be there. No, that's the time that you need to be there. Because that's the moment, the very moment that God is ready to answer your prayers. And when he shows up, you ain't nowhere around. You can't blame nobody but yourself. Is that all right? Come on, put your hands together, give God praise. Restoration is a word that the Spirit of the Lord told me to share with you. But another thing that the